have your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 20. Now let me explain to you the difference between Sunday school and church and why Sunday school is important. If I could take just a minute, if I could give a football analogy, any of you that know a little bit about football, let me give you an analogy. Sunday school is the place where you go over nitty-gritty things. You go over things that would be, they're doctrinally correct, but they're things that would help all of us. They're not something that you would necessarily preach on a Sunday morning necessarily. Oh, the topic might be, but the way you do it, there's some overlap. We don't spend a lot of time on salvation in Sunday school. We spend more time on doctrinal principles that would help you and I grow closer to the Lord. That would be something maybe you didn't hear as much on Sunday morning as you would normally. Let me give you a couple examples. When you're in ball practice, you're practicing various things. For instance, you're practicing things that you would do. You would practice a game plan. You put together a game plan and you would practice handing the ball off. Yesterday, I saw a play where the quarterback gets the ball and a guy starts running to the left behind him. And he turns and he's about a half a step late and he puts it on his hip instead of his chest and there's a fumble. Almost lost it, but didn't quite. Those are things you work out in practice. But there's what's called film study. Film study is where you put the other team up and you put yourself up on the screen. And you can do it in your home. A lot of people do it in their home. A lot of football players have filming equipment, and they go home. Tom Brady's famous for it. And you sit down in your basement, and you click the button. You go forward and back. You check to see if you're throwing the ball just with the right form, or if your left foot's front of your right foot, if you're right-handed, or if you're standing straight. One way you got more power, one way you don't. Then you practice that throw the next time you go to practice, but you see it in film study. And so this is sort of like film study, things that you might look at about yourself, things you might look at about somebody else, a principle, and say, you know, I think I need to work on that. Whereas we would not do that on a Sunday morning. We have a lot of visitors from time to time on a Sunday morning. And so it's just a little different. And so this morning, I want to draw your attention, if I could, to Matthew chapter 20. And I want to take just a minute and focus on the middle portion of it. Now, the first portion is something that we can all learn. It's about attitude. And the middle portion is also about attitude. And all of us can relate to this. You'll notice chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder. When he went out early in the morning to the laborers, into his vineyard, to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and this is, you know, about 9 o'clock, and saw others standing out of the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right, I will give you. Now, he goes from a contract to a principle. When I say contract, I'm agreed upon something to a principle. The contract is you work for me all day, I'll pay you a penny. That's normally a day's wages in their day and age. In Uganda, years ago, it was a dollar a day. So if you went and broke rocks at the quarry and you got a pile of rocks, you got a dollar for those rocks. So it's a dollar a day. Now, you'll notice, then he said he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and the 11th hour. Now, 11th hour is just an hour left in the day. And so each one, he says, verse 7, and whatsoever is right, he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Now, the principle is whatever is right. Okay? But the first group, he agreed on an exact price. So, not necessarily on a Sunday morning would I teach about this principle. I could. But it is, I always want to try to bring in salvation in some form or fashion, almost every place, even in Sunday school sometimes. But the focus is on something critical for me or you in our Christian walk. Something you might get up in a film study. I don't know. I know that Joe will know this, but in the coldest game ever played in football, the Ice Bowl, Green Bay played Dallas, and Dallas lost because I don't want to hear that. Okay. And so they lost because Bart Starr happened to watch a film, and he happened to see the Jethro Pugh, which was the tackle on the inside. Whenever he started coming toward the man, he rose up a little bit too high. He had a consistent tendency to get too high. And a defensive lineman, if you're trying to win at the line of scrimmage, the lowest man wins. Everybody knows that. You get more leverage when you're lower than a guy. And you can get him moving back, you know how big he is. Well, Jethro Pugh had a tendency to raise up and get a little bit high. So Bart Starr happened to see that on the screen. Everybody's cold at 16 below zero. They've played all day. They're frozen to death. It's third down and one. They're at the 1 yard line. They could kick a field goal and tie it, or they could go for the win and win it. And so Green Bay gets up, and Bart Starr calls a quarterback sneak and talks to Vince Lombardi, and they get up the line of scrimmage. And Jerry Kramer's on the left guard. He said, you push underneath Jethro Pugh. So he gets up. Sure enough, Jethro Pugh comes up a little too high. Kramer goes underneath him, and Bart Starr lands over the goal line. Now, you would never know that if you hadn't studied. So the old devil comes after all of us as Christians, and he's going to get the ones that don't study. You don't study what the devil is doing to you to prepare, and you don't study your tendencies. Well, I have a tendency to get upset, or I have a tendency to get angry, or I have a tendency to be entitled. I deserve that. Or I have a tendency, I have to watch myself because I get an attitude pretty quickly if something doesn't go my way. Well, you'll notice Jesus is simply preaching and teaching people. And notice, if you would, he's preaching a group of people sometimes, and sometimes it's just his disciples. But he's trying to get them to understand, what's your attitude? So what would be your attitude if your boss came in and hired a young man and he hired you for a special job on a Monday, said, "I'll pay you $500 if you'll do this on Monday." "Okay, I'll do it." And he comes in, and there's another guy comes in 2 or 3 hours later, and he takes him off another job and puts him in there, and he's helping you. And then another guy, and finally the very last guy comes in, and it's an hour for quitting time. And he helps you a little bit, and he comes out and he says, "Okay, Kevin, here's your $500. He gives you $500 bills. It comes to each one of the guys that come down, the last guy that worked an hour, he gives him $500 bills. Kevin's got to be real careful of his attitude. And that's what Christ is speaking about. He's speaking about when a Christian is treated unfairly to him, but you have to look a little bit deeper. Is it really unfair? It's not unfair if he agreed with you for a certain price. And it doesn't matter what he does with the other people. And so the end result is, notice what he does in this passage. And keep in mind, what is right? What is right when it's not agreed upon is in the eyes of the person that's looking at it. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a right and a wrong. Now, you might say that Kevin was not treated as fairly as the other guys. But when it comes to right, Kevin was treated right because he got his $500. And so if James came in and worked that last hour, Kevin could have a bad attitude toward James because James only had to work an hour and got the same amount. That's not fair, but it's still right because if I were doing it, I had the right to give to whomever I wanted to, whatever amount. So notice what Jesus says in verse number 10. And when they first came, they supposed that they should have received more. Now, when they first came, they thought they should receive more, and they likewise received every man a penny. So notice what he did. He said in verse 8, he began to pay them off last to first. So he began to pay James off first. He got $500 bills. And so Kevin says, well, I'm going to get more because James got the same thing I did. That's fair. Well, notice what Jesus said. Now, look at the principle. It's a hard principle. And when they had received it, they murmured, excuse me, verse 10. And when the first came, they supposed they should have received more. That's the first people he agreed with for a penny. Watch this. And they likewise received every man a penny. They were expecting more than he agreed with them on. Okay, you got that? Now notice number 11. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Okay, we're talking about right and wrong and fair and unfair. Okay, we have a hard time with fair. Everybody wants to be treated with fairness. But there are some times when it can't be fair. And I'll give you an example. You have two children. It's their birthdays. One child has a bicycle that they would like for their birthday. So you give them a bicycle. You spend $150. The other child wants three things. He wants a new train set. He wants a new football. And he wants a new baseball glove. And they total $150. So he gets three presents, whereas the other one got one. And the child says, that's not fair. He got more than I did. Got the same amount. My mother would always, underneath the tree, it didn't matter how many presents, she always had the same presents and spent the exact same amount of money. She wanted fair and right. Now, she couldn't always do that, but that was her goal. So again, notice what happens here in verse number 13. Jesus is in the parable, is speaking. He said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Remember, right and wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Well, yes, I did agree for a penny. Then take that as thine and go thy way, and I'll give to this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful? Is it not right for me to do what I will with mine own money? Is it not right for me to give to James $500 bills as if I give it to Kevin? Is it not right? Because you agreed with me. That's a hard principle. And all of us, we have to be careful because we want things to be fair and right, and sometimes they can't be fair, but we can always do what's right. And yet, those are things you got to think about. You got to think about those things. So on a Sunday morning, I wouldn't necessarily preach about that. And so Jesus is teaching primarily disciples about these principles. And so then the disciples come up with him. And this is really, believe it or not, that was the introduction. Okay? All right. That's the introduction. All right? Fair and right. Now, we sort of put those together. That's not fair. But Jesus made a clear distinction between what is right, what is fair. You're driving your car. And you're doing 53 and a 50. Policeman pulls you over, gives you a ticket. Anybody here have been ticketed for 2 or 3 miles over? Okay, have one. Anybody been ticketed for 8 miles over? Okay. How about 15 miles over? That'd be every one of us. Yeah, I mean, if you go 15 miles over, you're going to get a ticket. Okay. But let's say, for instance, you're going in the flow of traffic. You're going in the flow of traffic. Now, keep in mind, I'm going the flow of traffic. Does anybody know what the flow of traffic is on Route 7, roughly? What's that? I got a 70. What else have I got? Hey, I've got a 65, a 60, 65. It's not 55. Am I correct? Okay. But if you got a ticket for doing 59, is that right? Is it fair? But is it right? That's a hard principle. We might be all steamed up about it, but we should not have the attitude of murmuring, that police officer didn't do me right. Oh, wait a minute. It's a hard principle. And you know what? The world doesn't care. You just didn't do me right. No. You were 4 miles over the speed limit. You were done right. It's a hard principle. Well, now, let's look at another principle. Look, if you would, in verse number 17, Jesus, going unto to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, the Son of Man shall be betrayed. He begins to tell them how he's going to die and be resurrected. Okay? And then, in verse 20, you'll notice something happens. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with their two sons. Now, Zebedee's children were who? James and John. Okay? They're two of the disciples closest to Jesus Christ. John, the beloved, Jesus loved him. The Bible says Jesus loved him. It seemed sort of like he had a special place in the heart of the Lord. As far as we know, he's one of the only ones that didn't die of a martyrdom. He was born in all exile, but as far as we know, he didn't get crucified or torn apart by wild animals or killed. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 20, and then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. Now, what apparently happens, the two boys say, Mom, we'd like for you to do something for us. And she says, okay. So she says, I'll do it. Verse 21, and he said unto her, and now wait, back up, verse 20, worshiping him, so they're worshiping Christ, they're praising him, they're thanking him, and desiring a certain thing of him. Now the principle you want to learn is we want to worship desiring nothing in return. We want to love the Lord expecting nothing in return. Why? We've already gotten everything we need. We've already gotten heaven, the gift of eternal life. Let's worship him for the goodness that he's done to us. Let's worship him because he is good, because he is good to us, because he does love us. Well, notice, if you would, in verse 21, and he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Whoa. Now that's a big request. Would you grant that my two sons sit on your right and your left? They're good boys. Now, notice what happens. Let's keep reading. Verse 22, when Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. You don't understand what you're asking. You don't understand the gravity of your question. You don't understand, number one, those are very privileged seats. Yeah, we know that's why we want them. Well, notice verse number 23. He saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of that my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. Whoa. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So you have to understand, these seats are earned And only my Father in heaven, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, he's the only one. He and I have agreed that he's going to award those two seats to sit beside me in the kingdom. Now watch. Verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation. Now, this word indignation is they were angry. They were mad at them. What are you trying to do? Now, think about why they were mad at them. Jesus Christ is trying to teach a principle of fair and right, and this one comes up. Why were they angry? Perhaps they wanted those spots. We want to be special. Well, then notice, if you would, in verse 24, and so they had an attitude toward James and John, their mother. Notice this. And Jesus called them unto him. So Jesus has got his disciples. They're all sitting around. We don't know where, but they're sitting around on the mountainside or among the trees. And Zebedee's wife comes up with her two boys. And they said, Jesus, could we ask you a question? And the mother said, so that it wouldn't look so self-serving, could my two boys sit on your right and your left hand in the kingdom when you get there, when we all come to the kingdom? And Jesus says, well, that's not mine to give. But the other disciples all heard it. And you could just hear the buzz going on. See what they just asked? They tried to beat us to the punch. They tried to get to sit by Jesus. We would like to have that seat. That's not fair. They shouldn't have gone up there and asked that. And so now they get angry at them. I can't believe they did that. I'm not going to talk to them. I can't believe their selfish attitudes and spirits. Then Jesus says, look at verse 25. Then Jesus called them to him, says, wait a minute. Everybody come up here, gather around. Everybody come up here. So he gets all 11 of them that come up around to him. Now watch this. 12 at this point in time. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 25. Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. You do know that among the Gentiles, among the world, there are people that are great, and they have the authority. They have control. They're in great positions. They may be great because of, and it doesn't say what he said, they may be great because they're a great warrior. They may be great because they have a lot of money, because they made good investments. But you'll notice in verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. Oh, wait a minute. You're not going to want to try to get the highest seats. You're not supposed to be like the Pharisees, wanting the highest seats at every banquet. Verse 26, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Oh, now, I can just see Bartholomew or Peter. Peter, really. What? We got to serve to get those seats? Look here. Verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Verse 28, then he gives the example. He said, now, let me explain to you this. Let me give you an example of this. Even as the Son of Man, that's me, came not to be ministered to, I didn't come to be worshiped. I didn't come to be doted upon. Notice what he says? But to minister. To give his life a ransom for many. I came to serve. I actually came to die. Now, understand, what's the principle he's trying to teach here? If you really want to make an eternal difference, you have to have the attitude of a servant. In Christianity, the top is the bottom. If you want to be a godly wife and have the blessing of the Lord, then you have to obey your husband and obey the Lord and put your children first. Read Proverbs 31. If you want to be a godly husband, then you've got to love your wife no matter what. You've got to love your children no matter what. You've got to walk with the Lord so that the Lord is first in your life and everybody knows it. You've got to humble yourself unto the Lord. Now, all of us husbands and wives, we humble ourselves to the Lord. But when you humble yourself to your mate, it changes everything. Jesus said, notice the wording, verse 27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So I said, look, you're going to have to learn to serve people. Now, the disciples didn't learn this yet. Remember, whenever they were in the garden, Peter takes a sword and tries to cut off Malchus's head. They're still fighters. They haven't learned these principles yet. They haven't learned the principle of, you know, fairness versus right. They haven't learned those things yet. And then Peter says to Jesus, he says, you can't die for us. And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. They're learning all these principles. They're coming out of the world and they're having to learn all these principles there's no place they can go to get them but Jesus. And folks, there's no place you and I can get these principles but this book. You can't get the principle of up is down except here, in this church, in this book, in other churches that use this book. Because what the Lord is trying to say to you is, I want my children to be servants. I want you to put other people first before you. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15. And notice what he says. We then that are strong, those that are leaders, those that have grown, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So if you're there and somebody does right, but it's not fair, the strong ought to say, well, it's okay. It's the Lord will take care of it. The Lord always takes care of things. We just have to do what's right. We have to obey the Lord ourselves. And every husband and wife does that, it'll change your home and your marriage. If you humble yourself. If you try to take control, either one of you, understand this. A marriage is a partnership, it's teams. But in every team, somebody has to be responsible. Somebody has to stand before the authority for it. If you've got a team leader at work, if the boss has got another project, he's going to come to the team leader. He's going to say, look, this is what I want you and your team to do. And so he comes back and says, okay, let's all do this. But the team leader can't sit back and say, everybody work while I watch. He won't last long. He'll have no respect. He's got to be the hardest worker. He's got to be one that forgives the quickest. He's got to be one that stands up for what's right when it's hard to see. And he's got to be the one that is okay when it's not fair because it's right and it's a hard principle. It's okay with me. And he's got to help his team to see that. Well, notice with me if you would. Look in verse number 15, chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. Do you notice the word ought? We should. But the Lord knows we don't always. Sometimes we get an attitude too. Sometimes a husband gets an attitude, that wasn't fair. You didn't treat me right. Boss, wife, neighbor, children. Notice what he says? And not to please ourselves. That's the principle he was trying to teach his 12 disciples. Look, you don't try to please yourself. You try to take your own mindset and put, I'm going to put others first and not worry about me and let the Lord take care of it. And the Lord says, I'll take care. I'm the one that sees what's right and wrong and I'm the one that fixes it when it's not right. Now, notice if you would, not only that, he says in verse number 2, let every one of us please his neighbor to his good, for his good. With his good, whatever the word you want to use there, to edification. Look, try to please someone else and lift them up. Isn't that what a good leader does? He tries to lift other people up. He tries to encourage other people. And he gains respect by being a good example, a good testimony. If he works a little harder, then the guys say, well, I respect him. If he or she works a little harder, then people look at it and say, you know, I have a great deal of respect for them. So then you can speak about some things about Jesus Christ and they listen. But you have to understand, you have to put others first. That's what Christians do. But our world doesn't say that. Our world says, me first. Look, I want you to do what's best for me. Look, I don't think this is fair. Fairness is not something a Christian worries about. Right? Yes, that's correct. Now, these are hard principles. And the disciples didn't learn it until Jesus was taken to heaven. And then all of them began to pick up on it. Peter didn't figure it out until all of a sudden the little maid comes in and says, you were with Jesus. No, I wasn't. He's protecting himself. It's not like, look, I'm his servant. I'll do whatever he wants. I would never deny him. He said he wouldn't deny him, but he did because he wasn't strong enough. He didn't do enough film study. He didn't do enough personal study. He didn't do enough to realize that he was a prideful man. But you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and you notice the pride is gone. Because he learned his lesson. But he didn't until after. I mean, I cannot imagine the Lord Jesus looking at me and say, Dave Pittman, Satan, get behind me. What a statement. He was just trying to do something he wanted. So these two disciples, James and John, they come up to Jesus and through their mother and said, we'd like to sit on your right and left hand. He said, oh, you don't understand. I don't just give those out. Those are earned from my Father. And he gives them to the best servants. I can just imagine him saying, the best servants? Not the people that are out there preaching the gospel and standing up and yelling at the truth of the gospel. No, he's the one that it might be that guy. It might be Peter. But it's the one that wants to serve other people, that wants to lift other people up. And this is a principle, folks, that most people never get because they never see the resurrected Christ. They see themselves. They see that this isn't fair and that's not fair. I read a little story one day about a lady in India. She has a little baby. And she's laying on the ground. She's starving to death. And a social worker comes by and gives her a potato, a sweet potato. Been cooked. She's laying there. She begins to chew it. And the social worker says, I just don't know how that baby's going to survive. I just don't know how. And the mother tears the skin off. She obviously doesn't have much strength. She's dying, it looks like. And she takes the skin off with her teeth, takes a bite out of it, chews it up. And the worker's watching, and then she takes a little child and pulls her over to her and pushes the chewed sweet potato into her child's mouth and see the child go. He has to brighten up. When the sweet potato is gone, the child's belly is full. But the mother dies because she refused to eat any of it for herself. That's really the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us. Put your husband first. Put your wife first. Teach your children to put their brothers and sisters first. Teach them if one gets one big present, the other one gets two smaller presents, but they're the same price, it is fair. Teach them that right is most important. You can't always do everything that's fair, but we can always do what's right. We just have to purpose in our heart, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to rejoice in it. It's about the attitude we have about right. Not so much just doing it. We've all seen people that did what was right but didn't, they had a stinky attitude about it. And the Lord is trying to address the attitude here. When the others were murmuring, the ten disciples were murmuring, he calls them and says, hey, come up here and gather around. Let's talk for a minute. Look, if you want those two seats, you have to humble yourself and be a servant. Or you can just see them sitting there, oh. And you can't murmur about your fellow man. If you're a little stronger, lift them up. Don't please yourself. Now, that's a hard lesson this morning, but it's one all of us need. So I encourage you this morning, learn the lesson of Matthew chapter 20. Doesn't it have to always be fair? We want it to be right. It should be right. And we always look at the things in life and never murmur about something we don't get. We just humble ourselves and serve because it's right. And let the Lord take care of the rest, because the Lord sees everything and he makes no mistakes. Father, I thank you today for the simple principles in Scripture. But Lord, they're so hard to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us your Spirit's power to do what is right and to always serve others before ourselves. In your name we pray. Amen.